You know, we're just kind of keeping things rolling today, but tis the season for sure. I've got Kelly Watkins here in studio. She is the college and career counselor over at Vintage High School. And those of you with kids of a certain age, you know that this is that time of year. It's so crazy. We've got CSUs and UCs coming up, and all the other application deadlines for colleges are coming up fast and furious. As the mom of a senior, this has been heavy on my mind. Hi, Kelly. Welcome, and thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Robin.
Oh, you are so welcome. So I wanted to just go over a few things. I figured we could talk about some dates that are good to know, and tips for parents, tips for students, things that we need to keep in mind, and, you know, that kind of thing. So welcome.
Thank you. So let's just take it from the top. So CSU applications, that stands for Cal State University applications. These I always tell parents and students to start right away with, because it really only takes about, I would say, 2 hours to complete if you have your transcript sitting next to you.
Right.
So that application, no letters of rec, no essays. It's basically transcript input. You can have your social. If you don't, not a big deal. The CSU applications have completely gotten rid of test scores, so you do not have to submit any test scores. It is optional, so if you do, for some reason, want to, it will only be used to place you in your math or English class. So they are still going to look at your transcript for placement, but otherwise, test scores cannot be used at all for admissions.
And okay, that includes, so don't worry about it then.
Definitely not worry about it. That includes Cal Poly's engineering program.
Wow. It's,
I know, which is wild. This is a huge shift because of the the pandemic.
Oh, my older daughter's a junior at University of Oregon right now, and I think she took that thing like 4 times to make sure she got the score she wanted.
Yes, and I think my class, the class of 2022, has definitely landed in an interesting situation with testing. I think it could be to their benefit. We'll see how it all shakes out. One thing I did want to say, and this is not to enable procrastination, the deadline is November 30th, and you have to submit it by 11:59 p.m. on the 30th, which
is... So don't leave it till 11:56.
Definitely not. A lot of times the website can crash because so many people are trying to last minute submit, but there are a lot of extensions on the deadlines.
Okay.
So San Francisco State has extended to December 15th. Cal State Monterey Bay. I have listed all the extensions for my students on my website, but if you are curious, on the CSU website, it does have the extension deadlines for about 12 of the CSUs.
Oh, wow. So if some, but not all.
Yeah. If last minute you're like, you know, I do want to have some more backup schools, you can apply until into February.
Wow.
So Humboldt, I believe, is February 15th. So, you know, it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just telling you off air, we just completed our very first application we submitted last night. And I was just thinking, once we've got everything listed, I got all our transcripts there. I was helping her with awards, distinctions, clubs, activities, all that stuff. And once you've got it all listed out and you've done it once,
yes,
I was just saying, you know what, this week, why don't we not wait until January or whatever and just crank them all out and get it done?
I think, as we know, I am a mom of teens as well, and they do like to wait to the last minute.
Yeah.
But going into the Thanksgiving holiday, I've been telling my seniors, in order to enjoy your turkey day, you might want to just get all of this done ahead of time. So the CSU or the UC app is the next, it's the same deadline as the CSUs, but it's a much more in-depth application. So students that are applying to private schools in addition to UCs, it is a very similar application. So the list of awards and distinctions, the personal insight questions, those prompts really mirror the common app writing prompts. So if, let's say,
can reuse and recycle.
Exactly. Your daughter or son can just take what they've done on the UC, put it on the Common App, and then they are pretty much done.
So you could write one essay. You're not writing a different essay for every school.
Exactly. I mean, the UCs require 4 of 8 responses. Okay. So there's 8 prompts. They only choose to write on 4. Mm-hmm. But the Common App prompts, when I look at them, side by side, the UCs, they're so similar that you could choose your most outstanding UC personal insight question response and recycle it or elaborate.
Maybe tweak it a little.
Exactly, yeah. For the Common App.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
Right. I had a student doing that today. So in terms of the UCs, those of you out there who are parents of students that have not yet started, I mean, it's go time. We have about, what day is it today?
I don't even know. It's not 2020 anymore, but some days it feels like
10 days or so to get this done, and it does require a lot of work. So it's not impossible to get it submitted by the 30th, but it definitely is an uphill battle. So I would say reach out to your counselors, English teachers to revise your essay questions, and do bring your parents into the loop, because they remember things that you've done that you as a student might have forgotten.
We pulled out the box from the top of the closet and pulled out all the certificates that she had gotten over the years and went, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot you played tennis freshman year, which I know sounds crazy, but she's been a softball girl since age 7 and she tried it on by not listed. It was a sport.
Yeah, I actually helped a mom over email. She was listing off some awards. She's like, can you think of anything else for my kiddo? And I listed 5 or 6 things that I knew about her. And she's like, man, my daughter's kind of a rock star. I had forgotten about all that stuff. So it is the activities and awards section also includes work experience.
Yes.
So during the pandemic, lots of students got jobs. Mm-hmm. And if that's babysitting or helping your younger siblings with distance learning, I would include all of that.
Right.
There is one piece, and this came from the UCLA head of admissions. He said there's an additional comments section on the UC application. And in years past, a lot of students didn't really use it. Mm-hmm. They really, really want students to use that section. It's 250 word limit for a response, but to really explain how the pandemic affected them, whether it be academically, financially, mental health took a major hit for a lot of our young, it breaks my heart actually to talk about, but for a lot of our students, something happened to them that they were not ever, considering was a possibility.
Well,
so,
picture being 16, 17 anyway in a normal situation. And we all felt it even as adults, but you throw all those teenage hormones and everything that goes into being a high schooler today on top of the pandemic, and anxiety, depression, everything, it was huge.
So I had, for example, a young lady today wrote in that section, she's like, should I write this? She was raised by a single mom. She was at home with an autistic kindergarten, younger sibling, a third grader, and a fifth grader.
And was essentially teaching those grades,
probably. And she was trying to keep up on her AP and honors homework on Zoom while managing a house of kids. So is that important to include? 100%. Did her grades suffer during the pandemic? Uh-huh. They did. And she has a valid reason.
And there's your explanation right there.
Exactly. And the UCs want to know that context, whether it was family, financial hits. Mm-hmm. The mental health aspect, I can't even say enough about how much that needs to be written about if that was you and you felt any impact of that during the last year and a half. So I encourage you students out there or parents who are listening to encourage your child to use that 250 word section. It's called additional comments.
Okay.
Yeah.
So important. And just to like kind of piggyback on what we're doing here this week with our Caring for Our Community radio takeover with our Napa Vintners nonprofits that they're working with. We had Mentis in the other day, and we just had On the Move in today talking about voices. And there are so many resources out there for kids that don't have to do with the college process, but just to kind of throw that out there that they are available. Can I keep you in here for one more break?
And
can
Absolutely.
We just take a little respite for a sec?
Sure.
All right. All righty. This is Robin with you at 99.3 The Vine, and we are back in studio. I've got Kelly Watkins here, who is our college and counselor, college and career counselor, correct, at Vintage High School?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would assume all this information is absolutely transferable to Napa, American Canyon, anywhere. And even if you've got a junior, sophomore, freshman, you know, like I said, my oldest is already a junior in college, but had I known that first go around what I had to learn on the fly going into it, it would have been so helpful. So those of you with like slightly younger ones, this is all good info. It absolutely pertains. So we were talking about applications that are coming up. Some are due already. Some aren't due till February, January. But CSUs and UCs are coming up hard on November 30th. Can you tell us a little bit about the idea of privates versus public, large versus small, as far as, you know, most of these kids probably have their lists already, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I met with over 130 families one-on-one the spring, even with the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
So we created lists. But I like to have students have a variety of schools on their list. Some CSUs, some UCs, definitely privates and out of states, and obviously a range of mm-hmm. schools and their regarding their acceptance, right. their percentage of acceptance.
And you can go on any school's website and find like what their
absolutely
GPA
and,
is
and knowing and where you stand in their averages is important. Mm-hmm. Private schools do though. Have the advantage of finances. So, mm-hmm. for example, one of my students today got into Dominican University. She has a 4.0. She was offered $25,000 per year, so totaling $100,000, based just on her academic record, her transcript.
Wow, so not financial need or anything. This Nothing. Is simply just... You're smart. Here's money.
Yeah. Thank you for working so hard in high school. Here you go. In addition, this young lady does also have financial need. So in addition, she might get financial scholarships from the university okay. tacked on to her FAFSA, her Cal Grant or Pell Grant.
Okay.
So some of my high achieving students who are not going to get any monies from FAFSA mm-hmm.
for financial need
the academic scholarships they receive from schools like St. Mary's or Santa Clara University or University of San Francisco can bring down the cost to the same, you know, almost the same price point
right.
as a UC, if not even maybe a CSU. So the sticker price can be very deceiving. So I do suggest that students, you know, apply to private schools, and if mm-hmm. you know their transcript reads well, that could equal to dollars. And you know, every student is different when it comes to size and fit and personality. I do think there's such a buzz for UCs that sometimes we get
right.
we kind of
yep.
aren't looking at the full picture. I did go to UC for undergrad, and I went to a private for graduate school. They're so different. I will say private schools, your professors know you by name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very intimate learning environment, and if students thrive in that sort of learning environment, great. If students want to be kind of, you know, in a big C and want that big college experience, you know, that a UC would be great for that.
Right.
But every student is different.
You do have to be more proactive, though.
You do have to be more proactive.
More vocal and more verbal.
Absolutely. So knowing yourself and mm-hmm. when it comes to choosing which school you attend is so important to put the blinders on, not worry about what all your peers are doing,
mm-hmm.
what mom or mom's best friend is telling you is the best school for you. You really have to know yourself and know what's best for you and not worry about the societal pressures or the brand name of the school.
Right.
You know, I've seen students make choices that weren't in their best interest because they wanted to I don't know.
Wear the sweatshirt.
Brag. Sure. And they ended up coming home and then choosing something very different. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But I do think...
But if you could skip that step.
I think we need to support our kids and what's best for them rather than worrying about the reputation of a school. We are so blessed in California to have so many wonderful universities, whether it be our community, our local community college, who's number one in the state. Our CSU system is incredible. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm very a proponent of.
Right.
And of course, the UCs are nationwide recognition. And our private schools are pretty awesome. So we are in a very lucky, lucky situation.
And once you're on the campus, you don't even have to venture out a whole lot either. A lot of times I think kids look at schools based on where they want to live too. I went to UOP in Stockton.
I love UOP.
Right. But I was not really thrilled about being in Stockton, but I also hardly ever left campus.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, whether you're an hour away or 4 hours away, your school is your community. And so you aren't really leaving the campus all that much.
Exactly.
I did want to speak, though, a little bit to FAFSA and scholarships and that timeline.
Yes.
So FAFSA did open October 1st, but it does not close until March 2nd.
Okay.
So if you are just so, you know, focused on college applications, you have plenty of time.
Okay.
For all families out there, if you all you need is your Social Security number.
Okay.
Your tax return, the parents' tax return from 2020,
okay,
to 1040, and the student needs to create the FSA ID.
Okay.
So the parent can help out, but it's really under the student's name.
Okay.
Parent or guardians out there, you also, in order to submit the form electronically, you will also need to create an FSA ID. The thing I have to just reiterate is that this information stays with your student until they're out of grad school.
Okay.
So do not lose that password. That FSA ID is gold. So stick it somewhere safe,
stick
like you
it
would.
Your notes in the cloud or
absolutely
something.
When you apply to FAFSA, you also have to include the schools that you're applying to.
Right.
So you can add up to 10 colleges. That information is how the colleges, once you've been accepted, create a financial aid package for you.
Okay.
So if, let's say, you decided to apply to schools, you know, after you've submitted the FAFSA, you can always go back in and edit
and add.
Or even delete some and add some. So you do want to make sure that the schools that you have applied to are on that list so that they can communicate properly with.
And you need this for financial aid packages, for loans?
For loans, for grants. The federal grants and the state grants are obviously for our low-income families. And I can just give you the Cal Grant. I'm just going to give approximations. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. If you get the Cal Grant at a CSU, that will be $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
For UC, it's about $15,000.
Oh, wow. That's very helpful.
Yeah. And for a private school, it's close to $10,000.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You reapply for FAFSA every
year.
So this is not a one-time money. It's an every year application.
Okay. Do you need it also for things like merit scholarships?
This is not for merit scholarships.
Okay, just for like financial.
Yeah, it's just for financial assistance. So if you're, you know, middle class, upper middle class, you might not qualify for the grants, but it does allow you to get connected to the, you know, subsidized loans, parent plus loans, and student loans.
Okay, great. Well, this is all super great information. Just to kind of wrap up, can we talk a little bit about timelines from here on out and maybe some things to keep in mind as those, I guess they're not letters these days anymore, start to come in.
The
although
big packages
sometimes,
in the
actually, my older daughter did get a few. One even had like a little cougar that popped out of it, I think, like when you opened it up. So
yeah. The timeline from here, and this is not our student's strong point, is the waiting game, right?
So hit submit and then you wait.
Exactly. So students will be applying, obviously, November 30th is the big state deadline, and then into January, February for private schools. Once you've hit submit, all colleges have to give responses, admission responses, by the end of March.
Okay.
So by end of March, you should hear, you should have heard back from all of your schools. And then April is when you will get the financial aid award packages.
Okay.
That really details out your cost, your out-of-pocket cost.
And that might help with your decision-making.
Which definitely helps with your decision-making. In April also, most colleges have some sort of new freshman admit days where they open house their campus to kind of, you know,
entice. We went to Duck Days, and it's hard to say no to that.
Totally. And so that is right. Like, you get to meet all the freshmen who were admitted and get to be on campus and really see if this is the right fit for you. So going to those are really helpful as well. So by April, you are weighing your options. All, you know, options are on the table. And then May 1st is decision day.
Okay.
Where you do have to submit your intent to register, your SIR. And that does come with a deposit. So parents, guardians out there, it is between $250, sometimes $400 to save your seat at that university. That money actually goes toward tuition, so it's not just an added fee.
It's not just a placeholder.
But it does save your place at the school. So May 1st is that major deadline. I will say this. A lot of schools have wait lists now.
Okay.
So May 1st, you might say, okay, I'm going to Davis, but I was on the wait list at Stanford. I mean, I'm just throwing out random schools. So you are going to have to send your deposit in for Davis. But let's say in July, as late as July, you get off a wait list.
Wow. You're practically shopping for twin extra long sheets at that point.
I know, right? So you, if you do get off a wait list and it's a dream school, you can forego that deposit and say yes to the school you got off the wait
list.
And
in the end, it's probably worth it.
So, you know, some people don't want to play that waiting game and they decline being on a wait list. So it's really up to you.
Right.
I will say that this comes with some hard lessons, getting the rejection letters, and students every year that are more than qualified. They could not have done anything more to be an outstanding applicant to these schools. Get rejected. And I don't have the answers. There is no secret strategy to get into these schools, whether you pay someone to help you fill out the applications or not. It's just, there isn't a secret recipe for getting into these colleges. And students that really have done everything,
right?
It is enough. And so I always tell students, you know, this, I guess, was not the place for you. Like, it's a redirection, not a rejection. It has no bearing on your worth as a human being, as a person, and it's not going to determine your success in the future.
No.
So, you know, it's almost, I don't know about you, but when I go into a store like Ross and there's so many options, it's overwhelming.
Yes.
So it's kind of good to get some of your options dwindled down for you. I hate to say it like that, but otherwise it's, I think, harder to make a decision.
Right.
So I think if your student has done everything they can, then they've done everything they can up to this point.
Well, there's nothing crazy else to me, the requirements that compared to when I went to school. I mean, I was class of 89, so this is long time gone. But I mean, there were a few kids that had 4.0s, but we only even had one or two AP classes that were available. These kids have 4.5s and 4.6s.
The game has changed, Robin. Yeah. And I don't know if it's for the best either. I
no.
think the pressure it puts on students and parents it's a lot. And so I want to reiterate, finding the right fit, trusting that you've done enough, knowing you will land in the right place. And if that also means starting at the community college, going for 2 years for free and then transferring to your dream school, that's just as great of an option as going, you know,
I went that route and it bought me some time because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up at age 17.
I don't think many of us did know.
Or we think we do.
Yeah. Well, and I do think we are so fortunate. The Napa Valley College is phenomenal. I love being partnered with them. We work very closely with them.
Claudette Chateau, that does the Mondays and Fridays here, is a business teacher over at the at Napa Valley College as well.
Yeah, and the TAG agreement program there, when you keep a certain GPA and it's an automatic transfer to some of the best UCs. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like there's many pathways to get where kids want to go. Sometimes it's a direct, sometimes it takes a little while, but just knowing there, it's not a one size fits all. And the school that you attend has no equation to you being happy and successful in the future.
Right. I always kind of feel like wherever you end up, it's going to be what you make of it.
Absolutely.
If you use your office hours, if you join the organizations, if you put yourself out there socially. And
absolutely.
Kind of like high school.
You're absolutely right,
On a larger scale.
Definitely.
And a more expensive one.
Very much so.
But Kelly, thank you so much for coming in. I know this has been not heavy on my mind, but it's been a big topic of conversation in our household. And I just thought, gosh, I bet there's a lot of people out there with a lot of the same kind of questions swimming around.
I think we all could use a lot more guidance in this area.
Right.
And I know that guidance counselors are doing the absolute best they can.
Oh, you guys are working overtime.
Thank you for being patient with us. And do utilize the resources at the school. There's a lot of them. So
absolutely. And I really appreciate you giving us your time. I know you've got your own family, and this is definitely off the clock. So thank you so much for coming
in. I really appreciate you letting me share the space with you.
Oh, anytime. Hey, guess what? We got a little song by the Gabriels. We got this little Motown vibe. But you know, it always surprised me. They're on Epic, not Motown.